man said the other day, you all know the nursery rhyme, this little piggy. This little piggy went to the market, right? He said, you know, because I was up in my 30s before I realized that it wasn't going grocery shopping. It was going to the market to be sold, to be butchered. If we've talked about prayer our whole lives, if it's the Lord's will, if He would be pleased to let a light turn on today and let us understand something, Him to show us something. Most of the world calls this here in Luke 11 the Lord's Prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. Christ's high priestly prayer in John 17, this here is instruction on praying to His disciples, to those that follow Him. It says in Luke 11, verse 1, and it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, Christ, I'm sorry, Luke 11, that'll be our text. I'll wait for you. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased. So, think about that. God was speaking with God. They saw it. They heard it. This ain't some boy born up Meat House, Kentucky. This is the Almighty God speaking to the Almighty God. And when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. And John also taught his disciples. John the Baptist taught those that followed him how to pray. Lord, we just heard You pray. You teach us. I don't want a man teaching me. I want somebody else teaching me. I don't want TV teaching me. I want You to teach me. And He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The purpose of prayer is to honor the Lord. To be thankful in all things. That's two weighty words, isn't it? All things. All things. To declare our needs to Him, to be grown in grace and the knowledge of Christ. If we truly pray, I mean pray, not act like we're praying, not going through the motions. If we truly pray, as the Scriptures declare, not what we've convinced one another is prayer, what the Scriptures say. True biblical prayer, there's a great personal instruction given to our hearts. We speak to the Lord and He does a work in our hearts. It's for His glory and our benefit. Isn't that something? I'd like for us to look at five things this morning. Who do we pray to? Who do we pray? Our Lord, the King, told His people, Lord, teach us to pray. And He said, all right, here's how you pray. He said, our hallowed Father. From the very start, we're shown the attitude we should have when we pray. In verse 1, those disciples, they hear Christ praying, and they immediately realize He prays different than we do. I don't pray like that. And we need to have some instruction. He says a lot of things different than what I say. Lord, You teach me why You do that. Teach me how to do that. And we see Christ begin by saying, Our Father. We're praying to the thrice holy God in heaven. Did you know that? People are so flippant about prayer. Remember that song with Janis Joplin? Lord, won't You buy me a Mercedes Benz? What blasphemy. You're speaking to the holy God on His throne. His name is hallowed. That means reverend, holy, separated. Knowing that hallowed means He's to be respected. Whenever I go to my father-in-law's house, I don't kick up my feet on the kitchen table. Say, bring me a sandwich. I don't do that, do I? I come into his house boldly. I come in there freely. I come in there without fear because it's his home. But I don't come in there expecting a whole bunch out of him, demanding what ought to happen in his house, do I? That's his house. That's how we are to approach God's throne of grace, respectively, respectfully. It says, which art in heaven. Our God's in the heavens. This holy God isn't on this earth like we are. He's in the heavens. We are praying to the one that's able to answer and fulfill all of our needs. In 2 Chronicles it says, O God, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? That's where he is. Our Lord is not only fully capable and holy, he cares for us. He's a father. He's not a dictator, a stoic ruler that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's Father. We cry, Abba, Father. That's who we're praying to. This holy God, all-powerful God that we pray to, not what that's a drastic difference, isn't it? Night and day. That's why this gospel's precious. Everybody say, oh, you just tell Jesus your problems and then go on about your day. Put him in a box somewhere. This is a holy God, and he's our Father. He cares for his people. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, in his time. You see that? That's the attitude we're supposed to approach in, humbly. Casting all of your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. The Almighty God of heaven and earth, to his people, those that put in Christ before the foundation of the earth, those that come to him professing only Christ. Where's your righteousness? Christ is my righteousness. Why are you here? I'm here on the merit of another. Are you holy? Are you sanctified? Are you set apart? Christ is my sanctification. Are you faithful? I have no faith. I have his faith. Christ is my faithfulness. That God that rules heaven and earth, he cares for you. You that were put in him, you that have Christ revealed in your heart by a work of the Holy Ghost. None of this has to do with us, does it? That one that came to you and showed you what you are, you ain't nothing but sin. You drink iniquity like water, like a dog going back to its vomit. That's the way every one of us are. Maggots. A friend of mine's traveling. He fills in for people preaching. And I was on the phone with him the other day, and he's preaching to me. He told me what he saw in the scripture. I love it when he does that. And he was taking his trash out, and he goes, Oh, I forgot to take the trash out last week. He goes, there's maggots all over the bottom of this garbage can. You know what? And it smells. And I said, he just had a little baby girl. And I said, you go in the house, take that baby girl, and kill her for one of those maggots. That's our gospel. Lord has to show us, sinners a special thing. Lord has to show us we ain't nothing but maggots. And that's who it was. And that holy God, willingly, this ain't how somebody wrote a law before him, and he has to do this, if someone's telling him what to do, he willfully cares for his people. Well, that's something. If I could get my head around 1% of that, I would walk around this town smiling ear to ear with my chest poked out, and they'd say, California's drying up, water's going away. I don't care. Lord dried the water up. Hills are on fire. That's all right. Lord set the hills on fire. He'll put them out if he sees fit. He cares for his people. Look back in our text there, Luke 11, but down in verse 11. Luke 11, verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will you give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, Daddy, give me an egg, I'm hungry, will you offer him a scorpion? Nobody do that, would they? We know better than that. If then, verse 13, being evil, if ye then that be evil, you're evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? The Holy Spirit. If you're His child, you don't want a Mercedes Benz. You want the Holy Spirit to come to you to give you comfort. If you're His child, you don't want $1 million and you don't want health and wealth, prosperity and all this other nonsense. It'd be nice if I didn't have physical pain, if I didn't have all these things. That's not my need. I have wants. The need is the Holy Spirit. I need God to come to me. I need your presence. I need you to abide with me. I need your power to come into me and sustain me and keep me forever. That's what they need. We come to our Father. And since He's our Father, we can come boldly and freely. However, we come respectfully, don't we? We don't barge into His house and start kicking over garbage cans. And we come to Him in prayer, and we cast our care upon Him because He is able. He cares for His people and He is able. Once we approach the Father, that's who we're praying to. What we pray for. What we pray for. I want to look first at what we're not to pray for. We repeat this prayer here just over and over and over. Anytime you're going to pray, you just say this and that's it. Of course not. Matthew's Gospel, which is a Sermon on the Mount. Luke's account here, we got Christ instructing His disciples and giving us instruction just after He met with Martha and Mary. But turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We'll look at that. Here in Matthew, here's some good instruction on how not to pray before our Lord starts telling us how to pray. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. What else could we... What, modern day, 2021. What's that play? Applebee's. Facebook. Texting. Instagram. Whatever the other garbage is out there that the world's consumed with. Go down there. That's all. Hold hands. People say it real loud, so you look over at them, don't you? That's the corners of the streets. That's to be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know what they want? Do they want the Holy Spirit to come to them? No, they want men to see them. Look how good I am. Look at me. Watch me pray. But thou, speaking of His children, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Don't publicly make a show of prayer, but you come humbly and quietly. And if He sends the Holy Spirit in abundance to you, do you think it's going to be public? You think it'll be able to tell different? That blind man that got healed, he was walking different, wouldn't he? He could see now. Countenance had changed. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. We'll just overwhelm the Lord. I'll just keep talking till He gives in. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask Him. Now Christ begins to tell them how to pray. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye. He doesn't tell us to repeat these words verbatim over and over. He says, after this manner. Here's the template you go by. We approach the Father respectfully. When we come to Him, do we demand things? I've seen people meet over the years for prayer groups. I saw something on Sermon on the other day. Where did the prayer meetings go? There's a good thought common throughout natural, unregenerated man that if we band together, we can get God to cave in to what we want. Get all your friends together. Here's what you pray for. Pray for this. We're going to band together. That's not respectful. That's a mutiny. You that are a parent, you that are a supervisor, or you that's in any type of position of authority whatsoever, if you, your subordinates all got together, they unionized. Well, you're going to do what we tell you. We had enough. We'll band together. I'm not preaching against unions. They're fine, but... You get my point. God's people are not forming committees to sway things in our favor. We bow to Christ's holiness, to God's holiness, to His wisdom. And we mind our mouths when we speak to Him. We know who we're speaking to. This isn't something of our imagination. The Lord's revealed Himself to us, and we know who we're talking to. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I quoted this to you the other day, but it would be good for us to read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. You come into His presence. You come before His throne. You come into His house here. You keep your feet. Mind your steps. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. We don't come in here haphazardly, showing up to service. Come here ready to listen, not to speak everything that we know. Because those that want to be heard more than listen are called fools. It says, for they consider not that they do evil. They don't think what they're doing is wrong. Somebody comes in the house of the Lord, whether here or up the road in a week, they're going to pop off everything they know. They don't consider what they're doing is evil. Why is that? They haven't been shut up to sin, have they? Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Not just any old thing. For God is in heaven, and thou art upon the earth. Let thy words be few. Come ready to listen, not to speak. Look down at verse 7. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. Different vanities. If you have a prayer list as long as your arm, vanity will surely be mixed into it. But fear thou God. Honor the Father. Honor that Holy One that you're speaking to. Those are some good points of how not to pray, aren't it? What are we taught to pray? What should we pray for? We don't come in our vanity. We don't come in our much speaking. We don't come in our fancy words. We don't come being seen of men. Everybody look at me. Go hide in your closet and do it. So what should we pray for? Look back in our text. Luke 11. There are four things here listed in our text that we're taught to pray for. First, we're taught to pray for the Father's will to be done. He says in verse 2, and He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Bring your kingdom, Lord, as you see fit. There ain't a believer that's ever lived, I don't think. They don't think this is it. We're close. Lord's probably going to come any day now, isn't it? That's what Eve said. She said, you promised a man. Here he is. There's Cain. The Lord told the truth. I'm ready for him. Ain't a believer alive, I don't think the Lord's coming. But when his kingdom comes, he comes as he sees fit. And let us go to glory and not sin no more and be able to worship truly as we ought when that day comes. What a blessing that'll be for the believer. Shed this body of death. Be done with it. Sin no more. Be conformed to Christ and go to the person, heaven, capital H. Not kicking up dust, gold dust on the streets. Be in communion with the Almighty God that saved us. To be with Him. What a day that'll be. When I go through trials on this earth, normally I spend the bulk of my time praying for the Lord to fix whatever situation I'm in. Lord, take His thorn from me. Lord, let this burden be over. Let this trial end. And as He teaches me through making me pray, giving me the faith to believe Him, to pray to Him, the power to do it, I realize the problem ain't the trial that's sitting in front of me. I'm the problem. Sin in me is a problem. Not this world, not all these issues that's going on around us. Me, I'm the problem. And someday when I leave this world and I'm perfect in glory, there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sin. Be in His presence. We want the Lord's will to be done physically and spiritually. Believers do. When we pray for Him, Lord, Your will be done. Physically, He knows better than we do, don't we? If He's going to heal us or He's going to put us down. If He's going to cripple us, Lord, Your will be done. and in the hearts of other people. We pray for them. I have loved ones that hate God. They don't come out and say, I hate God, but what they believe, they hate God. And I said, Lord, if it's your will, I'll work in them. Be with them. Send your Holy Spirit to them. Show them what they are. Show them who Christ is. And show them that judgment's settled. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Oh, boy, what a victory message. Carry through this world. It's done. What a message. Lord, if you see fit, do what you see fit. Give us grace to praise you in times of unbelief. We know all things work together for our good and God's glory. But give me the strength to bow to your wisdom. We say these words, don't we? All things work out. Lord, give me. Let me enter into that. Let me believe you. Preacher of old said, if a man had the power of God, he would change almost everything. But if he had the wisdom of God, he wouldn't change anything. Christ is our wisdom. And everything else required to be in His presence, we say, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. When word got out that I'm a pastor, things changed in my personal life. The way people spoke to me, things they asked me, things they confessed to me. It's the first thing they normally run up, tell me how faithful they are. So I was buying a hamburger. I didn't ask you nothing. I wasn't preaching to you. I was just pumping gas. But it's a guilty conscience. People come up and tell me all these things. And I have random people, they ask me to pray for things all the time. Pray for this, pray for that. You're a man of God. Won't you ask God? I know who God is. And I said, pray for me. And I said, I don't think you want me praying for you. I'm going to pray the Lord's will is done. And the Lord may open your eyes if He sees fit and give you the grace to bow to His holy, sovereign will that pleases Him. Well, now all of a sudden, that ain't a Mercedes, is it? That ain't my back feeling better, is it? That doesn't suit me. People tell me, I'm going to pray for you. I say, I don't know who you're praying to. Just assume you didn't. We pray first. Thy will be done. That's the first thing the Lord shows. Secondly, we're taught to pray for our physical needs and our spiritual needs. He says in verse 3, Luke 11:3, give us day by day our daily bread. If we need a job, you need food, you need shelter, physical necessities, pray to the Lord. He's the one that gives them. He's the source of everything. We also pray for our daily fulfillment of Christ, the living bread. God, you provided for me yesterday. You gave me manna from heaven. I got to see Christ, His mercy towards undeserving people yesterday. But I woke up today. I need to see Christ today. I need to be reminded of this gospel again today. I need to know how a man can be just before God today. And then tomorrow, I'm going to acquire again. I need to hear it again. Tell me that old story. Tell it simply, tell it plainly so I can understand. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm in His hand. Show me what that hand is like. Remind me one more time, Lord, tell me. And I'm secure forever. Let me bow. Daily, Lord, give us a broken heart that we can ask for mercy. And we know that you'll absolutely provide. If a man comes to God asking for mercy, the Lord ain't going to turn him away. Ain't going to turn him away. You come asking for help, because you can do the other half. You come with a bargaining chip, quid pro quo. You give me mercy and I'll do this. Ain't going to happen. If somebody falls on that rock of Christ and they fell plumb and they're smushed, they're broken, a contrite spirit. Lord, I am nothing. I'm a worm. I'm a maggot in a garbage can. Be merciful. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't deserve it. That's why it's mercy. He's faithful and just to forgive. What a thought. What a thought. Faithful to do it. Willing to do it. And He's right to do it. Why? Because if you're His, if you're His child, you were put in Christ. And Christ paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain and now I'm washed white as snow. Does that make somebody prude? Would you? If people claim to be Christians all over this nation, claim falsely, and they'll say, Christ washed all my sins away, and would cuss you till a fly wouldn't light on you. Tell you everything you've ever done wrong your whole life, be mean to you, and then say, oh, well, God bless you. The Lord does work in somebody. If He gives mercy to them, shows His love to them, that's what they're going to come. Not what they can do or what they know. Who did it for them and who they know. The person. I told somebody the other day, I keep saying we don't come to a doctor, we come to a person. We're not saved by a theology, we're saved by a person. We bow to a person. Heaven's a person. And I thought, I'm beating that to death. I probably ought to back off of it and reword it. And I saw an article in your bulletin from Henry. Ain't nothing changed. You go back 2,000 years. If they wrote articles back 6,000 years ago, it's a person. That's who it is. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me Christ today. Let me see. What's the third thing we pray for? Our sins. It says in verse 4, and forgive us our sins. Must mean you have some. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, everyone that sins against us. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. You have forgiven us. Forgive us. Lord, you have saved me. Save me. Keep me. There are folks all over this nation. They think they can get so holy, so right, they're just ready for the pickings to go to heaven. They sanctify themselves. What blasphemy. God's the Lord of sanctification. He's Lord of the Sabbath. Lord of our righteousness. We're taking the place of God. They think they get so holy and they just quit sinning. Well, I don't cuss no more and I don't drink no more and I don't walk more than 10 steps on the Sabbath day or whatever. Whatever they think they're doing, they think they're getting holier and holier and holier and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. And they get to the point they just don't sin no more. Here's something for them to ask. You can't pray for your sins to be forgiven. The Lord told His people, He didn't tell the Pharisee, He told His people. He said, you ask God to forgive your sins. We pray for our sins to be forgiven. And it says, for we also forgive those that sin against us. Debt was interchangeable with sin in the Greek there. Here's a litmus test for you to know if the Lord's shown you what your flesh nature truly is. If a brother or sister sins against me, do I hold a grudge? They've done something wrong, they misspoke, or they just flat out said something mean to me on purpose. Do I hold a grudge against them? You might for a while. You still walk around in this flesh, don't you? You can be mad, you're going to be tender, you're going to be sore, but did you hold it? Am I shown how easy it would be for me to commit those sins? If the Lord just took His hand off of me for a second, I'd do much worse. Much worse. Thy will be done. Our needs need to be met. I need to see Christ again today. Our sins need to be forgiven. That's why we need to see Christ today. Be reminded once more who forgives them. And fourthly, to preserve us. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us. You know, we pray for hours. Not H-O-U-R-S. Some days we do, don't we? We pray for O-U-R-S. Hours. That's inclusive. We pray to our Father. We pray for our daily bread. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins. And we pray for Him to lead us, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our prayers are inclusive. We pray for ourselves, but we aren't selfish, are we? We pray for our brethren. Why? We're one body. Knit together. Not dismembered. Not cut all to pieces and scattered to the four winds. Lord knits His people together. One body. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One birth. We're knit together in Christ. We pray for our brethren's needs. For those children of God that He hasn't called yet. Now come a day. Prayer is part of fellowship. We are fellows in the same ship. And that's why we're led together in public prayer. It submits our hearts to the Lord, to His will. We ask Him to forgive our sins and that our needs be met in Christ. Together. When do we pray? Constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Everything. Oh, I wish I could remember that. A whole lot of things I ain't happy about. I was telling somebody the other day, it's easy to look to a preacher or a pastor and think that there's something that they ain't. I'm a man that walks this earth. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I ain't no different than anybody else. I got woes. I got troubles. I have times of deep, dark depression, unbelief, and everything else. Get low. I have to be. The Lord brings His children down, don't He? Ain't no different. But if I could just remember throughout the day, whenever I'm just upset and mad and pouty like a spoiled little child, I didn't get my way today. Give thanks. Give thanks. And everything gives thanks. Always pray without ceasing. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What happened today? What happened on the news? Exactly what God purposed in Christ Jesus concerning His children. Not everybody else. They can get in a tizzy if they want to. But His people, it happened for you. For Christ's sake. For His name's sake. Boy, that's something, isn't it? It says, brethren, pray for us. Paul says, please. Lord, you pray for us. If the Lord puts it in your heart to, pray He'll give us my needs for today. Let them see Christ. You got a brother or sister in a hard, heavy trial. I pray, Lord, let you see Christ in it. What's a solution to that hard, heavy trial? Seeing Christ. Being brought to His feet. Being comforted. When they ain't comforting nothing else. Seeing Him. Lord said, or Paul wrote in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing. That means don't be a worrywart, concerned over every little thing in this world. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. He's peace. We don't know what peace is unless He shows us. He's love. We don't know what love is unless He loves us. He's merciful. We truly can't enter into mercy unless He's been merciful to us. His peace passes all understanding. He shall keep your hearts and minds. Shall preserve forever. Keep your hearts and minds. Well, that's where both trouble lies, isn't it? I was born with a blind, dead, black heart of stone. And my mind's the most dangerous thing that can run free. All kinds of wicked thoughts and craziness and everything else. Daydreaming, and the Lord will keep my minds and hearts. What? How? Through Christ Jesus. Do you need Christ the bread today? Do you have sins you need forgiven today? That's constantly. Constantly. That's on your mind. We don't leave these things. Something's changed in the heart of a believer. When do we pray? Or where do we pray? We pray in the Spirit. Right where you sit. You can pray exactly the same in a Toyota as you can a Chevy. Do you know that? People don't think so. Well, I got to put a certain robe on. I got to physically get down on my knees. I got to face a cardinal direction. Pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And that dwells in you. It's inside of you. Paul wrote to the Romans, said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us that groaning, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Where do I pray? Well, I'm going to pray once I get ready to do it. We ought to be prepared. We ought to come to services ready to hear. Let our heart rates calm down some and expecting to hear from the Lord, not from me or a man. We ought to prepare ourselves. But we hit a miss, don't we? And the Lord makes intercession for us. We pray, and the Holy Spirit intercedes and says, here's what it means. Isn't that needful? Aren't you thankful? That's a sweet, precious thing. Why do we pray? For the glory of our God and the benefit of us and our instruction, that He grows us in grace and teaches us these things. Preacher, you're saying if God chose a people through election and He's sovereign in providence, He controls all things, why do you even pray? It's called fatalism. We'll see that tonight at 6:30, Lord willing. That's being conquered like a foreign army. That's not willfully submitting to the Lord. The Scripture answers this for us. God Almighty did choose a people. He does control absolutely everything in creation, in providence, in salvation, in eternal security. We're kept by His hand forever. But we're made to praise Him and ask for our needs to be met. People want to walk that line throughout eternity like we talked about the other day. of man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. If somebody can explain that thoroughly, you got that figured out? I laugh at them. I know these things. No, you don't. No, you don't. Lord said, I'm going to do everything, and you're going to willfully ask me to do it because I gave you the power to do it. You're going to inquire of me. Now explain that. I don't know. I believe it. I bow to it. And if anybody can do that to God, God of heaven and earth can't he? He's able. He told Ezekiel, said, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet be yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. He said, I'm going to do it. That ain't going to change. It's going to happen. But you're going to ask me to do it for you. You're going to ask me. That's why we pray. The Lord said He's going to put it in our hearts to pray. You see how prayer is for God's glory and our instruction? It praises Him. It's His creation and His people. It has to be praised. I ask for things I shouldn't. And as I'm asking, I think, boy, that's so foolish. That's so foolish. The Lord rules and reigns on His throne. He's completely holy and sovereign over everything. I'm His. My daily bread has been met. I've been put in Christ. My sins are forgiven. I know who's on His throne. Not some little G-God. The holy God. And I say, you know what? I don't think I need these petty things, do I? I need Christ. That's what I need. That's instructive. You submit to the Holy One. And it teaches us. Lord, that's how the Lord grows us in grace. Well, that sounds kind of sad, though. Yeah, Lord don't grow us up. He grows us down. Flip-flop what man thinks, isn't it? We're taught to pray for these causes. For three causes the Lord teaches us to pray. The first thing is because we do it wrong. We don't come out of the womb praying right. James said, you lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and you receive not. We've been praying to the Lord forever. Why ain't He doing something for us? Why is He silent? That happens. Sometimes the word's so precious, you don't have a vision, you don't have a sound from God. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. It's just for me. Not our Father, our sins. For the whole body, for me. For me. We don't know how to pray. We don't come in this world know how to pray. We pray because we're supposed to. We're taught to because we're supposed to be taught. Told Jeremiah, said, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Somebody wants true knowledge. Call unto the Lord, and He'll show you great and mighty things. You want to know about salvation? We're all coming to an end. Call upon the Lord. He will show you great and mighty things. For what purpose? It says, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what needs ye have before ye ask Him. He said, I'm going to draw them to my Son. Use the Holy Spirit to move on them, just like those waters in creation. And we will come to Him. They shall come to Him. There in our text, as the disciples ask in verse 1 for Christ to teach them how to pray, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know what that is? Prayer. Isn't it? Lord, teach me to pray. That's simple. That's honest. It's declaring that He's the one that's able, that He is Lord, and declare that I'm in need. I ain't all I think I'm cracked up to be. I need You. And you know what? It was fulfilled. Lord, teach us to pray. He said, here's how you pray. I'm going to teach you right now. Isn't that something? He says in verse 12 of John 14, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And a greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. I don't pray like I ought to. Christ prayed for me. I don't pray when I ought to. Christ said, Lord, you hear me always. I don't ask for the things I ought to. He did. Read the Psalms. Wrap your mind around that one too, huh? Anything we do, anything a person born of Adam does is not accepted by the Father unless it was seen through the lens of Christ's accomplished work. Unless He sees us in His Son. Because of His perfect obedience to the law, because of His fully trust in the Father, His blood sacrifice, and His ascension, we're made righteous, we're made perfect in the eyes of God the Father. And in His name, being put in Him, being made one with Him, joint heirs, that's how we can come to that throne of grace boldly and freely. I hope that was a blessing to you. Lord, teach us to submit to Him and to His will, to who He is. And boy, what a blessing it is. What a blessing. He gives us that daily bread one more time. One more time. He's faithful, isn't He? He will. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for the person and work of Christ. Lord, let us see Him one more time today. Lord, for those that's never seen Him, that are Yours, as You see fit, as You will, open their eyes, give them light. Shed light in their hearts. Lord, and don't leave us to ourselves, the evil that we are. Keep us as You promised You will. Lord, let us trust in Your hand and Your ability and in Your wisdom. Thank You, Lord. Forgive us for what we are. Forgive us our unbelief, our doubt, and our pride, Lord. Let us come humbly before Your throne and bow. It's in Christ's name, on His merit alone, that we ask it. Amen.